Okay. Right. So now moving on to IES2, and I believe I am handing over to Gustavo to tee up. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Okay, so thank you. And we'll now move into agenda paper 3. The committee received the submission about the costs announced includes at the estimated costs to make the sale when determining the net realizable value of inventories. Paragraphs 8 to 18 summarize the outreach performed, and paragraphs 19 to 46 include our analysis of the matter. Our analysis shows that the requirements in IS2 do not identify which specific costs ANESI includes in its estimate of the costs necessary to make the sale. Therefore, we think the committee can only go as far as answering whether, in its view, IS2 does or does not allow an entity to limit its estimates of the cost necessary to make the sale to only such costs that are incremental. Based on our analysis, we conclude that the requirements in IS2 do not allow an entity to limit its estimate to include only incremental costs. Nonetheless, we think an entity would use its judgment to determine which costs are necessary to make the sale. I'll now pause and direct your attention to question 1 on page 12 and ask whether you agree with our analysis of the requirements in IS2. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, Gustavo. Who would like to talk about selling costs? Donna.
Thank you very much. I thought I would go first this time. I have to say that I definitely think IS2 is nowhere near clear enough to give a clear answer to the situation, and then hence the reason why there's almost 10 pages of analysis to try and get to some sort of principle within IFRS to be able to apply to the situation. I did a little bit of homework and I kind of went to the US GAAP, not that we do go to US GAAP, but I thought, you know, just out of interest, if we pop over to US GAAP and see what, if there's anything specific there. And in the US GAAP, you do actually use incremental costs. So I'm actually sympathetic to why there are two different treatments in practice, where some market participants are using a judgmental component of all costs or costs, where other market participants are using incremental, because I do believe that the standard is not clear enough to give the necessary guidance to give a clear and distinctive answer. As such, even though I'm sympathetic to the view taken by the staff in their paper, I don't necessarily agree that we can be that explicit in the as an IFRIC member to say that it is all, because it is estimated costs necessary to make the sale. Now, that could be incremental, that could be all. What do we define as all costs, for example? What are all the staff costs or what some costs of selling? Do we then maybe look at, for example, IFRS 17, and we look at acquisition, insurance acquisition costs to determine how we would actually scope costs into account? Because if anything, that is probably one of the more distinct later standards that have come out that gives guidance about what actually a selling cost would be. And the BC in IFRS 17 actually speaks, the staff speaker, the ISB members actually spoke a lot about, you know, not prejudicing one competitor to another competitor just because of the nature in which they actually facilitate their business, for example. So I have to say is that I'm not supportive of the conclusion reached by the staff. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. If I could encourage people to emphasize any words and the requirements that they're relying on for their comments, that would be helpful, please. Jens?
Thank you, Sue. So I agree with the analysis of the committee, and I do think that IS2 gives sufficient guidance to address this issue, because first of all, it refers to net realizable value. It doesn't refer to fair value or another measure used within IFRS. And for me, the requirement to include all costs necessary to make the sale in the ordinary course of business is a hint that this is not only incremental cost, but rather all costs. So with regard to question 1, I do agree with the analysis. However, I'd like to point out that I was a little bit surprised taking into account the submission and recognizing that within the submission, the submitter raised different alternatives that could be looked at. And in the analysis provided by staff, only some of these references have been picked up. So, for instance, what came into my mind and what was presented in, by the submitter in view one was a reference to IS 37. And I recognize that the staff paper is silent with regard to IS 37, which has the same question in it with regard to incremental or all cost for the onerous contract provisions in para 68 of IS 37. And I was a little bit struggling why this has not been picked up in the staff analysis, because the staff talked about 36 IFRS 5, but was not addressing what was raised by the submitter, the analogy or the same principle that rests within IS 37. And coming from a practice perspective, I would say the guidance in IS 37 has some merits, because there might be inventories that are already ordered. So where I do have an obligation to order and purchase inventories, and yet there is an executory contract, and the measurement of this executory contract would fall in the scope of IS 37, and thus IS 37 would require that I measure the executory contract taking into account all costs. And the same applies for, in my understanding, for net realizable value when the inventories are then on balance sheet, so after the purchase, that they still apply all costs and not incremental costs. So for me, so not by analogy, but I think the same principle rests with IS 37. And I was wondering why this wasn't picked up in the staff analysis, albeit that the submitter directly pointed to IS 37. Thank you.
Hesitating in case staff want to comment on that.
I can comment if that's helpful. Yeah, I think just to explain, Jens, I suppose that what our analysis does in the paper and what we base our analysis, and I suppose what we are saying in conclusion on the analysis, is that when you're determining net realizable value, you're in IS2. IS2 includes the specific requirements you apply, and therefore you're applying the requirements in IS2. So on that basis, we're saying, look, when an entity is determining that, the requirements in IS2 require you to estimate the costs necessary to make the sale. And because there are requirements there, you are not going off into other standards and picking up requirements and other standards and sort of inputting them into IS2 in a sense. Now, you're right to then say, though, but in our paper, we don't just analyse the requirements in IS2. We go on to explain why we think someone wouldn't go and sort of point to or look at the words and say IS 36 or IS 41 or IFRS 5. And perhaps you're saying, why didn't you go and do that with IS 37? We could have, by the way, I suppose the only explanation is that we thought we should analyse maybe those other requirements in a sense that also covered a similar situation to the determining NRV, which is standards that included some measurement when you're trying to ensure the measurement of an asset is not more than it should be, in a sense. Whereas we thought the IS 37 requirements were perhaps a step more removed, because they were more in the context of deciding whether to recognise a liability and maybe how to measure that liability.
Okay, thank you for clarification. Albeit I had loved to see such a sentence or an explanation in the staff paper.
Okay, thanks. Very close reading. John.
Thank you. So my comments are actually similar to Donna's, and I did do not extensive, some outreach to see within the industry my company works in, the automotive industry, how this is considered, because as you can imagine, the cost to sell inventory within automotive can include transportation costs, which can be material. They certainly include a number of other costs associated with the sale of the vehicle, and can also include a rather significant amount of marketing expense. And what I've seen is that the the application in practice is diverse, and that people do read the standards of IAS 2 in different manners. Perhaps sometimes it's influenced by their historical application of US GAAP. That may be possible. But it also is when looking at how to apply IAS 2, people do analogize from what I've seen to other standards that are not identical to net realizable value, because to my recollection, net realizable value is not used in other standards, but they do look to other instances where you're looking at some sort of amount of consideration expected to be received for the sale of an asset, including the direct cost to sell. So they might not use the terminology incremental, because incremental cost to sell, because that's maybe more of a US GAAP terminology, but they might consider the direct cost associated with the disposal of the asset, which could be more narrow than including all costs or an allocation of all costs. And I think if you, in using an allocation of all costs, whether where you draw the line and whether it's simply on the cost to sell, or you also include other costs that you know you will incur, such as marketing, is a point where there's not fully consistency in the practice. So I, it was interesting as I read the standard, before getting to the staff's conclusion, I intuitively went to an analogy first to look within IFRS at things that might be analogous or similar to NRV, and was anticipating a conclusion of using just the direct cost to sell by reference to fair value less cost to sell and other similar measurements. And therefore, I struggled to get to the conclusion that the staff did, because I didn't see references in other standards that would elaborate on the types of costs to include within NRV and support the conclusion while ignoring or not considering other measurements which are similar to, though admittedly not exactly the same as NRV, but seem to move to get to the similar assessment of the consideration you expect to receive for an asset that you're selling, also considering the cost you'll incur. So because of that, I don't really agree with the staff conclusion. I would think that an agenda decision might actually go in the other direction and be more supportive of the view that it is the incremental cost or the direct cost associated with selling, but would also appreciate I would be reading words into the standard that I don't think are there. So I guess in as a result, I don't know that there's enough basis within IFRS to reach a technical to reach a decision, because I think the IAS 2 is intentionally or otherwise not specific, and therefore I think it is left to the judgment of the individual preparers, and to the extent that that judgment requires material decisions, those material decisions should be disclosed as they are with any judgments required by IFRS.
So maybe if it's helpful, I just wanted to come in to clarify something I've heard mentioned in Donna and John's comments, just if it's helpful for future members who might want to come in and comment.
Yeah. Sure.
So, Donnie and John, just to explain, at least I'm not saying it'll change your view, but just to explain, I think, what we were intending. So you're right to pick up on the fact that obviously as part of our discussions, we have used the word all in places and we've talked about all costs. I just wanted to clarify what we intended by that, and I suppose what we didn't intend in a sense. When we use the word all, what we simply mean is all costs necessary to make the sale. So I just wanted to clarify that we weren't opining at all in a sense on whether this is a what some might refer to as a full cost method or a direct or a directly attributable or anything like that. I suppose what we've concluded, we're agreeing with you that we think IS2 doesn't specify, you know, the exact cost that you include in this case. We do just think IS2 is saying you include, you know, the cost necessary to make the sale. So I just want to clarify anywhere in the paper we've used all. It's not all costs as in everything, it's just all costs necessary to make the sale. And maybe I would just clarify that I know, for example, in the tentative agenda decision, we've used that word all. At least for us, it's not essential that that word all would be there. So to the extent it helps any committee members in thinking through this, the word all from our perspective could certainly be removed from any tentative agenda decision, and we could just refer to including the estimated cost necessary to make the sale.
And I think perhaps even a layer more specific than that, what I took from the staff analysis was really that there aren't words in IAS2 that you identified that would limit to only incremental. That's the key part of the analysis. And I haven't heard anybody yet point to something specific that says otherwise, but I'd be interested in further comments. Carsten?
Yes, thank you. I actually think that the clarification from Petrina just now was really helpful. Because when I initially read the analysis, at least, it sounded in some sense to indicate some full cost approach. So I think it's really helpful. And I agree that it's not in the agenda decision itself. So that's also helpful. My sense is that we can't really say very much on this question, given the limited guidance in IS2. And when I read through the different, the views or in the staff paper or the views presented at the beginning of the paper, I wasn't entirely clear which costs would be included exactly under both of these views. I think a key observation is in paragraph 27 of the paper, which acknowledges that IS2 includes no requirements that specify exactly which costs are those that are necessary to make the sales, so, which I agree with. I think that's a key observation. But then, both the submission and the analysis in the paper mentioned certain specific examples of cost, that might be necessary to make the sale. So for that reason, I struggle a bit to understand exactly the two views that are presented, although I acknowledge it's not in the agenda decision itself. So view one says an entity would include all costs needed to make the sale, and then explicitly mentions some costs, such as those for sales staff, etc. But it seems unclear, what other costs might be included, such as, for example, proportion of the cost for renting retail space and the like. View two refers to additional costs and uses a special promotion campaign as an example. It then goes on to say the analysis that the term additional costs is intended to have the same meaning or considered to have the same meaning as incremental cost used in IFRS standards and refers to IFRS 15 and other IFRS standards where this term is used. So a few observations on each of these two views. On view one, and looking at the analysis in the paper and, especially the illustrative example in paragraph 30 of the staff paper, I now understand, based on what Petrina just explains, that this is not intended to suggest a full cost approach, which would be based on all the costs that are expected to be incurred and can be attributed to the sale of inventory. Now, on view two, I think different people mean different things if they talk about additional or incremental costs. I also think the term incremental cost itself is used in different standards with potentially different meanings. And while the meaning of the term incremental cost is clearly explained in IFRS 15, this is not necessarily the case in other IFRS standards. So for this discussion, I will assume that the term incremental cost has the meaning as it is used in IFRS 15. So those costs that an entity would not have incurred if the contract had not been obtained, or in this case, if the sale had not been made. So if used in this narrow sense, as defined in IFRS 15, I would agree with the staff's analysis that there seems to be no basis in IS2 to limit the costs included to only those incremental costs. Now, for view two, the paper uses a special promotion campaign as an example. And I thought that example was a bit problematic because, while such costs may facilitate a sale, they would be incurred even if there's no subsequent sale of the inventory being promoted as part of that campaign. So it seems that, the cost of a special promotion campaign would actually fail to meet the definition of incremental cost as described in IFRS 15. So overall, assuming view two says that only incremental costs, as used in this narrow sense, as defined in IFRS 15, are included in the cost necessary to make the sale, I would also be inclined to not support view two, which is consistent with the staff's view. But I was really wondering whether that necessarily puts me in view one. So if your tool just says it's all the costs necessary to make the sale, then I would agree, as long as we acknowledge that IS2 includes no requirements that specify exactly which costs are included in those costs. I think that this would be consistent and not go beyond the requirements in IS2. But I would not be comfortable to suggesting any full cost model or give examples of costs that should be included. I would also like to point out that for some retailers, especially I understand in the fashion retail space, this is where I had heard that most commonly, it seems that including all costs that somehow support the sale may actually result in a negative net realizable value, as the estimated cost will often be more than the estimated selling price. Now, you I understand we are not suggesting a full cost approach. But maybe the final comment I would have on the analysis is that I think, you wouldn't look at the cost that are expected to be incurred for the sale, because IS2 doesn't say you look at the expected cost for the sale. It instead says that you need to look at the estimated cost necessary to make the sale. So my point is that I don't think that the expected cost to make a sale is necessarily the same as the estimated cost necessary to make the sale. So overall, I think suggesting in any way that IS2 requires a full cost approach or, requires looking at the expected cost to make the sale would go beyond the requirements in IFRS standards. And I think for these reasons, we should just say, IS2 requires to include the cost necessary to make the sale and includes no requirement that specify exactly which costs are those. I would also be comfortable to say that it's likely going to be more than just the incremental cost, as used in the narrow sense as defined in IFRS 15. But I don't think we can say much more than that, really. Thank you.
Thank you, Carsten. Mary, did you want to say something to sort of prompt thinking?
I did. I think it would be helpful if those who are commenting could be explicit, and Carsten kind of came to it in his comments. I think overall the staff analysis agrees with something that's at the heart of what both Donna and John said, which is IS2 is not clear enough regarding which costs are in and which costs are out to say definitively these, this type in, this type out. But the question that I think this has asked the committee to address is whether IS2 is in its wording about costs necessary to make the sale, it limits it to incremental, does not limit it to incremental, or is unclear about whether it's limited to incremental. Because if you can answer that threshold question, you will, you still will not provide absolute consistency in terms of what's considered necessary. But I think that's a big, important sort in terms of are costs necessary to make the sale required to be limited to incremental? A limit to incremental cannot be found in IS2, or there's enough inconsistency and vagueness in IS2 that you can't even answer that piece of the question. I think everybody should assume that it's not possible in an agenda decision to give more specific guidance about this type or that type of cost beyond that incremental or not point.
Yeah, and also not legal. John, would you wanted to respond specifically to Mary?
Yeah, I think Mary's comments were very helpful along with Petrina's, because I'll be honest, I read the staff's analysis as possibly suggesting it should be a full cost model. So I think it's helpful to clarify that wasn't the intent. I do think there would be a basis to say that it should not be limited just to incremental costs, because perhaps those incremental costs would not be all costs necessary to sell the inventory. So I think to frame it in the way that Mary summarized, to me would be supportable. I think going beyond that, though, as Karsten suggested, I think would be challenging with what's not in the standard.
Thank you. Young Su?
I should say conceptually, the step analysis and conclusion is right. The cost necessary to make sales should not include only the incremental cost. I think that all cost necessary to make sales should be included in the NLB. The users want to know whether the company make money out of selling the inventory. In order to provide information like that, we have to include the all cost, not the incremental cost, in the computation of NLB. So in that sense, I agree with the step analysis and conclusion, conceptually, at the conceptual level. But if I think about the practical level, I'm not quite sure whether this agenda decision is an appropriate. There are a few reasons for that. First one I want to say is that we have used the concept of NLB, the NLB test, for many years, not just 1 year, 2 years, but for many decades. And we did not have any trouble. Many companies would use many different definitions of NLB, but we didn't think that was the problem. But if we issue this agenda decision, there will be a big change in the practice because all the company has to use the old cost instead of the other concepts of NLV, the other concepts of the cost. And the second one I want to say is that this agenda decision is going to have a huge impact on practice because this agenda decision is about the inventory, which many companies are having. And also, as far as I know, many companies are taking view two. Many companies are using incremental cost in the computation of NLB instead of the all cost. Before the meeting, I talked with a few practitioners in Korea, and all of them says that they are using some kind of incremental cost. Maybe the definition of incremental cost will be different, but they are not definitely using all cost. So if there are many companies that are using incremental cost in the computation of NLV, all of them have to change their practice, if we issue this agenda decision. And the third one, why I said that, this agenda decision will not be practically right, is because this agenda decision will not have a material impact on the financial statements. As the staff pointed out, In the agenda, the staff paper itself, the cost necessary to make sales are immaterial in many companies, in many entities. If that cost is small, no matter whether we require incremental cost, full cost, all cost, that regulation's effect on the financial statements would be small. On the other hand, if we say all cost is the only way a company has to consider in the computation of NLV, then almost all companies must change their accounting systems. And changing accounting systems is going to be costly, and sometimes it's not going to be easy. It's going to be complicated. So, what I'm trying to say is that conceptually, I think the step paper is right and their conclusion is right. But practically, do we have to require all cost, even if we didn't have any big problems in the concept of NLB used in the practice? So I should say that I'm inclined more toward to disagree with the analysis, disagree with the conclusion. Not the conclusion, but disagree with the agenda decision. Thank you.
Thank you. Bob?
Okay, thanks, Sue. I understand the staff's view and the support for view one and find it logical, but I think there is equally as logical arguments for view two. I also think and are unscientific
study would indicate, I think, predominant practice is out there is Vue 2. So how do you get there on Vue 2? Well, everywhere else in the literature where we refer to incremental selling costs, that'd be IS 36, IS 41, IFRS 5, it's always on an incremental basis. Now, I did not include IS 37 in that because IS 37 doesn't talk about selling costs. IS 37 is about onerous contracts, it's fulfillment costs, and I don't think there's any question that, you know, an inventory production cost, cost to complete, that's on a full basis. IS 37, it's an onerous contract, so it's already sold, so it didn't have to deal with selling costs. Now, in looking at selling costs, the staff argued that IS 36 and 41 and 5 are different situations. Don't disagree with that, but it's got a principle in there. If you look to the basis for conclusions in IS 36, BCZ 31 through 36 talk about why the committee at that time chose to go with incremental selling costs. But then what's really interesting is if you look at BCZ 37 to 39, they explain the differences that they saw between IS 36 and IAS 2 in that when you look at net selling price versus, which became then fair value less cost to sell, versus net realizable value, they said, well, in a disposal, you may be in a forced sale versus IS 2, it's ordinary course of business. They never explained that there was a difference between the view on selling costs. In fact, they say, and I quote, in most cases, net selling price and net realizable value will be similar, which implies to me that the committee considered this and thought that they were being the same between IS 2 and IS 36, that, you know, IS 36 was clear, it's incremental. They thought that IS 2 was also an incremental notion. At least I think I can read that in that basis for a conclusion. So I think there's support for Vue 2. I think before we upset the predominant practice out there, I think more research needs to be done. I think we need more research on which is a better answer, which provides more information, and can it be practically done, and can it be defined in such a way so that we get some consistent practice, which suggests to me that maybe we, in doing more research, maybe we need to do some standard setting here, an interpretation, for example, or at least before we issue this agenda decision, have that more research, ask the staff to do more research on this.
Okay, thank you. Guy?
Thanks, Sue. I have to admit I'm happy with a number of the comments that have been made already. I was worried that my perspectives here might be a bit as an outlier, but I think similar to others, I think the approach taken in the paper in the TAD is certainly, you know, a reasonable one, but it's a question of whether it's the only one. And I'm quite nervous about saying it's the only one. I'm in part, informed by, I think anecdotally, similar to what some others have said, that, you know, predominant practice, at least in my experience, is different than the direction we're headed here. And so that sort of informs my thinking that this is not the, you know, only possible reading of costs necessary to make the sale in IS 2. You know, I would have to acknowledge it doesn't explicitly say that, you know, that can only that's only incremental costs. It doesn't say that, but at the same time, it's not further defined in IS 2. And I think I can also understand a thought process that the concepts in IS 36, IFRS 5, etc., were similar costs of disposal type principles are embedded. But you know, those aren't dealing with exactly the same circumstances as IAS 2, because there's an ordinary course of business versus a non-ordinary course of business distinction. But it's not obvious to me that that ordinary course of business versus non-ordinary course of business, you know, in and of itself, is absolutely clear that they're sufficiently dissimilar to not make that or not look to 36 or 5 to help guide one in trying to think through more carefully what necessary to make the sale might mean. You know, I think saying that's not appropriate because of the ordinary course of business versus non-ordinary course of business distinction, I would argue, is a judgment in and of itself. And you know, that may not be the only judgment. I was interested in listening to what Bob was just saying as well about how he reads the scope of some of the BC paragraphs there about forced sale versus ordinary course, and not really talking about distinctions in costs of disposal. And I think that further supports the notion that, yeah, there's a judgment here, but is that the only judgment in saying looking to 36 or 5 for more guidance is not appropriate because of the ordinary course of business distinction? You know, the other sort of difficulty I'm having here is we acknowledge as has been said several times that there's judgment in determining what the costs necessary to make the sale are, and all we're saying is, you know, one can't limit that to incremental only or arbitrarily. We have to define what the costs necessary to make the sale are. But there's a spectrum of approaches there that aren't clearly defined. You know, on the left hand side of the spectrum, one might think of it, you know, as only direct costs. And then on the right hand side of the spectrum, one might think of it as embedding allocations of directly attributable costs, indirect costs, and if so, which ones. But and we acknowledge in the TAD that, you know, there's judgment in trying to determine where in that spectrum to define costs necessary to make the sale. And the further left in the spectrum you go, the more akin to incremental that starts to look. The further right in the spectrum you go, the less akin to incremental that starts to look. But by acknowledging the judgment, you know, it kind of, in my mind, solidifies the ambiguity in the definition in IS2 in the first place. I think for both of those reasons, I'm having some difficulty saying the analysis that's put forward here is clearly the only analysis. It's definitely a reasonable analysis, but I'm quite nervous that it's the only analysis that one can come to under the words in the standard.
So do you see the work, just honing in on some of the particular points that Petrina made, because obviously I think she was clear that we're not trying to be prescriptive on which particular costs are included, or proposing that the words say all costs, but rather really focusing in on this point that there's nothing to limit it to incremental. Do you think that's unclear in the standard, as opposed to what people are doing? When you look at the words in the standard, do you think that's unclear?
I've been reflecting on that over the last couple of days, Sue, and I go a bit in circles. I necessary to make the sale does not explicitly say only incremental, but again, it doesn't further define it. And so I find it hard to reject a notion that one might look to cost of disposal as defined in other standards and view that concept as quite similar to what we're trying to deal with here. And absent further clarity in IS2, look to that to help define what we think that means. I can understand the notion in the paper as to why one might reject that because of the ordinary course of business distinction, but I think that's a judgment, and not it's not obvious to me that it's the only judgment one can draw. It's a reasonable judgment, but is it the only judgment? I'm not so sure it is. So again, I think I come back to the phrase necessary to make the sale is just not sufficiently defined in IS 2 to say it can never be an incremental only approach.
Okay, thank you.
So would it be okay if I just clarified something, if it's helpful?
Yeah, I mean,
Guy, just to clarify, you know, in terms of what we are saying and what we're not, by the way, and for the interests of the others, just to let you know as well. So first of all, what are we saying or what are we not saying? All we're saying is IS2 says cost necessary to make the sale, and therefore an or view, you cannot read into that. Therefore, with those words in IS2 that say cost necessary to make the sale, we feel those requirements mean you cannot limit the cost to only increment. We're not saying those costs cannot be incremental, depending on your circumstances and your situation. We're simply saying you cannot limit them to only being incremental in the case where you might have non-incremental costs that are necessary to make the sale. Because the focus is simply always on what are the costs necessary to make sale. And I suppose just if it's helpful to explain, I think our thinking about looking across to other standards, I suppose, is very much just back to that, I'll say, basic point or simple point that says, if there are, you know, you're in the scope of IS2, you're applying IS2, and there are requirements in IS2 that specifically apply to this case or this transaction or situation. And I suppose for us, at least then, because IS2 have those requirements that are not the same, there are different requirements, different words, different terms, cost of disposal in different words and other standards. Then when we just think as a starting point, there isn't any basis on which to go and grab words and requirements that are worded differently in other standards and almost bring them into IS2. Which I think is almost what you need to do if you want to kind of, you know, think about IS2 as having any kind of incremental notion.
Thanks, Petrina. Brian.
Thank you, Sue. I think it's very good and it's very helpful that the staff have recast the question that was in the submission. The question in the submission was about additional costs, and I think it's very helpful to the analysis to replace it with the phrase from a standard. So I think it's a big improvement. It really helps the discussion to focus on incremental costs. That means, in turn, I think the most important part of the agenda paper is actually the footnote on page 3, which glosses incremental costs to mean only the costs that would not have been incurred if the entity had not entered into the transaction, which is the IFRS 15 idea. I then wondered, in a selling context, what sort of costs would genuinely be incremental? And it seemed to me that many selling costs are not incremental in this very specific sense. So if I offer an incentive to a customer, well, that's not a selling cost at all. That's an adjustment to the selling price. If I run an advertising campaign, if I have a promotional activity, if I pay my staff overtime, if I hire staff in from an agency and I pay them by the hour, none of those costs are incremental. Virtually the only selling cost I could think of that was genuinely incremental would be a commission. And that might be a commission to somebody I employ, or it might be a commission to an agent. So it did seem to me that people who were coming at this saying, well, we do incremental at the moment, I did wonder if they really do incremental in that narrow IFRS 15 sense. I then thought, well, what's the relationship between the term incremental and the term in IS2, the costs necessary to make the sale? And for me, just as a matter of language and linguistics,
the phrase costs necessary to make the sale must include those that are incremental and potentially something else as well. So kind of in that narrow sense, I agree with the proposition in the staff paper and in the agenda decision, but it does seem to me to be a very, very narrow statement. All we're really saying in this agenda decision is you've got to look a bit wider than commissions and other things that are genuinely variable with the sale itself. That's quite a narrow statement. Also, I wasn't sure that the significance, that very important footnote on page 3, really carries through to the drafting of the agenda decision. I'm not sure if we're going to go ahead with the agenda decision based on what I've heard, but it seems that for the agenda decision to go ahead, it would have to explain what it meant by incremental, which I think would be this very, very narrow version of incremental. It might have to give some examples of things that would and wouldn't be incremental according to this definition. And then picking up on something that Petrina said earlier, maybe it wouldn't really be appropriate to refer to all costs because people are reading that, I think, to mean full costs. And I think what the two views that are really being discussed here are incremental and not incremental. So responding to kind of Mary's earlier challenge and perhaps Sue, your challenge as well, I can kind of see that the phrase necessary to make the sale must, as a matter of language, be broader than incremental. But that's because incremental is so very, very narrow.
Thank you, Brian. Bertrand?
Thank you, Sue. I think releasing an agenda decision on such an issue would be probably a pragmatic answer, and the main reason is why probably it would be difficult to circumscribe an amendment to such an old standard as IS2. I agree that IS2, when you read it, seems to imply that effectively you do not limit the cost to take into consideration as just the incremental cost, but something broader than the understanding. And I remark that this is consistent with the outcome we reached when we proposed to the ISB, and the ISB amended IS37 on provision for onerous contracts. So we would have something rather similar as a principle, meaning that costs for a provision for an asset, a provision for a write down of an asset or provision on the liability side of the balance sheet would be rather consistent in considering the cost to be taken into consideration to compute the provisioning. I understand also that I did a very limited benchmark in this regard, but the few practitioners I've asked for what they are currently doing, they are effectively not doing it. They are not estimating a provision for an inventory based on just the incremental cost deducted from the NRV when they perform the NRV test. So having said that, I'm rather comfortable with the outcome that the staff proposed technically and issuing an agenda decision. I remark something that is really important in the draft tentative agenda decision. Effectively, Petrina mentioned probably the wording could change, all costs necessary to make the sale and becoming the estimated costs necessary to make the sale. I would be happy with that. But I think the most important sentence, the following one, an entity would use its judgment to determine which costs are necessary to make the sale considering its specific facts and circumstances, including the nature of the inventories. And I think this sentence is really important because in some instances, you could imagine that there wouldn't be such a difference between, or such a significant difference between incremental cost and all costs necessary to make the sale. Rather, in other instances, there might be a difference. So, and as a last comment, I was smiling when I read on page 17 the quote in paragraph B7 of the agenda paper, the quote of one paragraph of the basis for conclusion that states that ISC did not believe that it was necessary to change the definition of net realizable value used in IS2 because for inventories, the definition of net realizable value is well understood and seems to work satisfactorily. And effectively, it's quite astonishing because we've just received the submission from ESMA. So that's maybe not as well understood, and it doesn't seem to work as satisfactorily as this paragraph states. But maybe it would be useful for the committee if Ton explains why the ESMA has submitted this question to the committee so that we get a better understanding from the ESMA perspective relating to this question. Thank you.
Ton is indeed in the queue. So Ton, if Jim and Renata don't mind, you want to do that now and make any other comments you wanted to make?
Yeah, that's fine. The reason why we raised this question is rather simple. We had a case, an emerging issue with this fact pattern. And the members of WECS were not able to come to a common conclusion how to apply the standard and what is exactly meant by all costs necessary to make the sale. So that's a rather short but simple answer, I think. And like you, Bertrand, I was laughing myself when I saw that phrase in the BC, that it is well understood, because from what we have seen and from the outreach and from what I heard during this discussion, it's very clear that it is not common understood. My main comment was that I had the same understanding as some other members, that a full cost approach was advocated by the staff. I now understand that agenda decision should be read along the lines that you cannot limit to only incremental cost if non-incremental costs are necessary to make the sale. I'm not very sure that such a message will be very useful in practice, because what we see is that we do not completely understand. Further, like Bob said, we notice in the basis for conclusions to IS36 that it is suggested that the approach in IS2 will be an incremental one, based on the fact that in the basis for conclusions, they were indicating that there might be differences in the selling price, but they are not talking about differences in the cost to deduct. So from that point of view, I can imagine that people come to the incremental way. And then the next step is, and that is also highlighted by a couple of members, what is exactly meant by incremental cost? Is that limited to what is in IFRS 15? Or is it wrong? Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tom. I'm going back up the list again. Jim?
All right. I think our staff did a very good job in writing this analysis in a very articulate way. So just by introducing the view one and two, using the word only additional and all costs, are making the analysis clear. But knowing that IS2 has been out there for years, have been used by hundreds or thousands of companies in practice. All of a sudden, the feedback or the outreach is telling us many of them are wrong by this, by categorizing them into view one and two. What's wrong with it? We couldn't be that way off. So we did some analysis, and after listening to all these previous concerns, I realized that, as I think Guy just mentioned, we, when talking about costs or costing, we have a spectrum of words, all the way from direct material to full. Maybe the direct material is, by if we use numbers, the smallest, and the full costs are the biggest number. But we are all of a sudden introducing all costs here versus only additional. These are two new words. We haven't seen it in those other kind of standards. Of course, I heard Patrina mentioning that all costs doesn't mean the full cost, all costs necessary to make the sale, such, such. But for accountants, if we see the word all, or the words all costs, intuitively, we're thinking toward full costing. If we see the word only, we're thinking a little bit narrower than additional. So by introducing these two categories, or view one or view two, I think it's somehow misleading toward what the original IS2 should guide us toward. I think we should stay with the wording necessary to make the sale without introducing additional words. Even though, as Patrina mentioned, all costs necessary to such such, but the all give us the direction to include more than additional. And the only additional makes a little bit less. I don't know how the others interpret these two views, but I think the views are confusing. The practice, by following the existing IS2, I think nothing wrong with them. The outreach is telling us they select view one or two, but I think incremental should be somewhere between the only and the all. So I think the wording is a little bit off. So it's making all these noise and confuse all these previous kind of experts by saying that it couldn't be that or it couldn't be this. I think we should stay with what the standards is using right now, and without introducing new, a little bit different wording or concepts. I think that this all and only is really kind of giving us a little bit different weight toward what should be in and out in calculation. So just, I don't think IS is not clear, or we should do something with the existing IS2 standards. Is the way we interpret the fact pattern is a little bit tight or misleading, is my view.
Thanks, Jim. Renata.
Thank you, Sue. I don't want to be repetitive, but I also agree that we have the guidance in the IS2. I would agree that it could be, it should be all costs to be included to make the sale. One thing that is really important, and it's getting more and more important nowadays, is the marketing expense when you have sales through internet. So considering these aspects, I would say that it's important to have an agenda to standardize the application of IS2. Once we discovered that there are two ways that have been applied by users or by the preparers. I think the pattern of the cost of sales and market expenses are in the financial statement. So in the statement of income, so if you read this information and the preparers of the financials have exactly the amount that has been standing, so it would be a good guidance to estimate the cost to be incurred. And I also believe that once they have costs that they have been incurring, but they are avoidable, they might have the opportunity to adjust the estimate to these avoidable costs when they exist and when the company has the true intention to avoid them. So summarizing, I would conclude with the staff recommendation and have the opportunity to develop an agenda to give more clarity, clarification of the standard to the preparers.
Thank you, Renata. Sophie, I think you're next. Sophie, are you there? Can't see Sophie just at the moment, so maybe we'll go to Goro and then I'll try Sophie again. Goro?
Yeah, thank you. First of all, I have to confess that I misunderstood that the agenda paper, that I read that the old cost as full cost. And I was not convinced by the staff's analysis. But the after hearing all the comments and the addition, you know, the supplementary comment from Patlina and others, I think I'm not sure. But from the user's point of view, that the I think that the input, what is important is that the kind of a consistent application of you know, the concept of the cost to necessary to make sale. So either view one or view two would be okay as far as that the accounting for the other, you know, that cost of sale is to be the consistent. But anyway, that the after hearing all these other comments, that I'm not sure view one or view two is more convincing. And the given the fact that the view two is dominant in practice, I incline to support. I incline to support view two, but the ads both suggest that because of that this divergence among the view, probably we need more research on this and the possible, you know, that the impacts if we take the view one as the staff suggests. Thank you.
Okay. Sophie, did you want to come in? Okay, I think we might have lost Sophie, so I'll keep talking. And if you can hear Sophie and want to come and just yell at me. Okay, so now I think we're at the end of the discussion. Again, another very thorough and good discussion. We're certainly not constrained by being online to having robust discussion, which is actually fantastic. Now, I think where we land at this point of the discussion is that we get to a position where we say, do we want to do standard setting or not? And the flip side of that is really, are you agreeing with issuing an agenda decision? I think that in this instance, the situation is slightly different. And so I'll give you a heads up of what I'm planning to do in terms of what I'm going to ask you so that you can think about when you want to put your hand up and when you don't. So the first question I'm going to ask you is question two in the paper, which is, do you agree with the recommendation not to add a standard setting project to the committee's work plan? If you answer yes to that, you're not committed to answering yes to an agenda decision. So I just want to make that clear. But do you think we actually need to do active standard setting on this topic? Yes or no? The next question I'll then, the next, if we get agreement not to do standard setting, then what I'll do is I will get Petrina to confirm what sort of agenda decision we would be planning to vote on. And I'll get her to use her words, but the idea would be to limit it to this very specific point, which is it the case that IAS2 limits the cost to those necessary to sell and that it's not limited to those that are only incremental? So focusing in on that, but I'll get her to confirm the exact words. And you can vote yes or no to that. So you might vote for nothing, you might vote for standard setting, you might vote for that narrow agenda decision. I think all of those options are open at the moment, given the range of views around the table. So with that explanation, can I get a show of hands firstly for who thinks we actually need to do active standard setting on this topic? Anybody?
I see four.
Anybody on the phone? No, so that's four for standard setting. Okay, so we're not going to do standard setting. Okay then, so Petrina, can you just use proper words, you or Gustavo, the precise words for the essence of what the agenda decision would be, and then if we go there, we can talk about the exact drafting.
Yes, so I'll just give you an outline, at least from what I heard, the gist of, compared to what you can see in front of you in page 14 of the paper, the gist of what we might do. I think, first of all, by the way, I'll pick up a typo that somebody helpfully pointed out, that the second paragraph there should refer to paragraph 6 of IS2, not paragraph 5. But overall, what we were going to do here, by the way, is maybe to draw out more what we're saying, that if you were to agree with our analysis of the paper, the fact that there's really just two things we're saying. The first is that when you're determining the net realizable value, you are estimating the costs necessary to make the sale. And secondly, that we think that requirement to estimate the costs necessary to make the sale does not allow an entity to limit such costs to only those that are incremental. So I think what we propose at the minute, the tentative agenda decision simply uses the word restrict. I think we change that to limit. I think limit maybe is a better way of saying it. And I think we'd flow through that sort of conclusion about it not limiting to the actual very final paragraph in the conclusion. So we'd conclude that there's an adequate basis for an entity to determine whether the estimated costs necessary to make the sale are limited to incremental. So that would make it clear we're not opining on what exactly the costs are. We're more opining on the fact that we think the IS2's requirements mean you cannot limit to only incremental costs. I think what we would be open in the middle of the agenda, in the third paragraph, there is some discussion as well about inventories being in a sentence that begins, the committee also observed that, you know, inventories are for sale in the ordinary course of business. I think if you were to find, you know, that paragraph a bit of distraction, then we certainly as well could just go from sort of that paragraph really saying you're required to estimate costs necessary to make the sale. This does not allow an entity to limit it to only incremental, you know, including only incremental could fail to achieve the objective. So I think, again, if you thought it was clearer, we could use that.
And I think the idea would be not, based just thinking back to some comments raised, I think the idea would be not to go further and to start talking about what incremental means or anything like that, or to talk more about what costs could or shouldn't be included, other than those two sort of broad statements.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I'll only emphasise, Sue, that the reason I think, hopefully, I know a lot of people have talked about incremental, but I think already in the tentative agenda decision, we describe that as being incremental to the sale of an inventory item. So I suppose I feel we've already covered that by saying incremental to the sale of an inventory item.
Yeah, and we'd lose the word all, which has got a bit too much airtime in the draft and in the paper, I think, based on comments.
Yes, yeah,
so
absolutely.
Can I raise a question?
Yes,
Tom speaking.
Yes.
In the discussion, Petrina, you said you cannot limit to only incremental cost if there are non-incremental costs necessary to make the sale. Yeah. I would prefer to phrase it that way instead of saying only no, it's not incremental cost, because there might be situations that they are the same.
I agree with you, Tom. I suppose what I thought, but tell me if I'm right, is that in that first sentence, sorry, second sentence of the third paragraph, it says this requirement, we would say this requirement does not allow an entity to limit such costs to only those that are incremental, thereby potentially excluding costs, you know, that are necessary. Well, we could say, though, by thereby excluding costs that are necessary to make the seal, but that are not incremental to the seal. So we pick that up there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'd like to come back and make sure people are happy with the words if we get there. But first of all, can I get a show of hands on who would support a tentative agenda decision with those key messages that Petrina has outlined and no more? Can I get a show of hands?
I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on screen. And I just want to confirm Sophie would agree with that.
And Brian is also letting us know that he would agree with that. So Brian and Sophie.
Renata, also Renata has confirmed she would agree with that.
Okay, so that's enough. Okay.
Yeah, that's enough. That's nice. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Then does anybody have any other comments on the draft wording beyond what Petrina mentioned? Carsten?
Yeah, can I just confirm that in the third paragraph, the suggestion was to remove the reference, you know, starting with inventories and this ordinary cost, say for in the ordinary cost of business, and also the subsequent sentence that refers to selling activities, and that was my understanding, at least, that we would get rid of those two sentences. Is that right?
Yes, I think I was suggesting that it would probably make the tentative agenda decision cleaner. So we'd remove the sentence that begins, the committee also observed, and then also the next sentence, the start entities engage.
Yeah, I think that's a very good suggestion. Maybe two other small suggestions. I personally think it might be helpful to actually say what we mean by incremental, you know, just using the wording in the staff paper, the reference, essentially what's said in IFRS 15. So at least we are clear what we mean by incremental. The final suggestion I would make is, I was wondering whether it might be helpful in the second paragraph, that sentence that says it starts with, although those paragraphs do not identify which specific costs are necessary to sell inventories. I was wondering whether it might be helpful to actually move, you know, the first part of that sentence into the next paragraph, because I think it's actually a very important observation that we are making. So that we basically move that, at least the first part of that sentence, into the third paragraph, because that would then, you know, basically be an observation of the committee. And I think it's actually a key observation that IS2 does not specify which costs are those that are necessary to make the sale. So that would be my preference, at least.
Mary, did you want to come in?
Yes, Sue, thanks. Carsten, you just went back to the issue of should the tentative agenda decision include some commentary about what is meant by incremental? And I you've given me the excuse to deploy one of my favorite phrases and cautions, which is the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Because I deploy it in this context, because if incremental is not the pivot point for deciding in or out, and that's the conclusion that the committee has come to based on the words in IS2, that you cannot limit it to incremental, then that attempt to, I think, be helpful and pick up some insights about what's incremental is not relevant to operationalizing the requirement for all necessary costs. And it does, to me, you know, as a board observer, run the risk of some unintended consequences or knock-on effects that are not central to the question that was raised. So I just personally want to strongly discourage trying to do that.
I just also wonder that we're not adding words into IS2 that aren't actually in IS2. And given some of the very, I think, sensible comments made about how long this has been around and how fundamental it is, I just wonder whether we shouldn't be particularly cautious on that front for this particular topic.
Yeah, I think that's fine too, because, you know, most people will look at, you know, other standards anyway then. So I'm comfortable with that.
Okay, thank you. That's helpful. All right, so can I just make sure we haven't lost anybody based on the wording suggestions that have been made? Okay, nobody's screaming at me, so I think that's a good sign. All right, well done. Good discussion. Okay, Petrina, you've got what you need on that, I think, and Gustavo?